tabernacle was teaching them about salvation. It was a visual of Christ in the wilderness. It was a structure that God was raising up to show them the way that through the blood of a perfect lamb without spot, they could know God indeed was with them, that God was going with them.
And that is where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Hi there. Welcome to our program. We're back in Exodus chapters 35 and 36 as we take a look at God's command to build a temple. But what is really cool about all of this is the delight and joy that the people had in supplying for this building. That's what we'll explore today and tomorrow. Join us. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with this edition of Abounding Grace.
I invite you tonight to turn to the second book of the Bible. Second book of the Bible, we have for some time been working through the book of Exodus. And tonight we come to Exodus chapter 35, and we will read through verse 7 of chapter 36. Last time we gave consideration to the Sabbath regulations here in the first three verses. I want to just back up to the beginning of verse 35. Our text will be verses 4 of chapter 35 through 36, 7. This is the word of the Lord. Moses assembled all the congregation of the people of Israel and said to them, "These are the things that the Lord has commanded you to do. 6 days work shall be done, but on the seventh day you shall have a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. You shall kindle no fire in all your dwelling places on the Sabbath day." Moses said to all the congregation of the people of Israel, "This is the thing that the Lord has commanded. Take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, bronze, blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twine linen, goat's hair, tanned ram skins and goat skins, acacia wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense, and onyx stones and stones for setting, for the ephod and for the breast piece. Let every skillful craftsman among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded: the tabernacle, its tent and its covering, its hooks and its frames, its bars, its pillars and its bases, the ark with its poles, the mercy seat and the veil of the screen, the table with its poles and all its utensils, and the bread of the presence, the lampstand also for the light with its utensils and its lamps and the oil for the light, and the altar of incense with its poles and the anointing oil and the fragrant incense and the screen for the door and the door of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering with its grating of bronze, its poles, and all its utensils, the basin and its stand, the hangings of the court, its pillars and its bases, and the screen for the gate of the court, the pegs of the tabernacle and the pegs of the court and their cords, the finely worked garments for ministering in the holy place, the holy garments for Aaron the priest and the garments of his sons for their service as priests." Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him, and everyone whose spirit moved him, and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting, and for all its service, and for the holy garment. So they came, both men and women. All who were of a willing heart brought brooches and earrings and signet rings and armlets and all sorts of gold objects, every man dedicating an offering of gold to the Lord. And everyone who possessed blue or purple or scarlet yarns or fine linen or goat's hair or tanned ram skins or goat skins brought them. Everyone who could make a contribution of silver or bronze brought it as the Lord's contribution. And everyone who possessed acacia wood of any use in the work brought it. And every skillful woman spun with her hands. And they all brought what they had spun in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen. And the women whose heart stirred them to use their skill spun the goat's hair. And the leaders brought onyx stones and stones to be set for the ephod and for the breastpiece, and spices and oil for the light and for the anointing oil and for the fragrant incense. All the men and women, the people of Israel, whose heart moved them to bring anything for the work that the Lord had commanded by Moses to be done, brought it as a free will offering to the Lord. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "See, the Lord is called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he has filled him with the Spirit of God, with skill, with intelligence, with knowledge, and with all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold and silver and bronze, in cutting stones for setting and in carving wood, for work in every skilled craft. And he's inscribed him to teach both him and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan. He has filled them with skill to do every sort of work done by an engraver or by a designer or by an embroiderer in blue and purple and scarlet yarns and fine twined linen, or by a weaver, by any sort of workman or skilled designer. Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whom the Lord has put skill and intelligence to know how to do any work in the construction of the sanctuary shall work in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded. And Moses called Bezalel and Aholiab and every craftsman in whose mind the Lord had put skill, everyone whose heart stirred him up to come to do the work. And they received from Moses all the contribution that the people of Israel had brought for doing the work on the sanctuary. They still kept bringing him free will offerings every morning, so that all the craftsmen who were doing every sort of task on the sanctuary came, each from the task that he was doing, and said to Moses, "The people bring much more than enough for doing the work that the Lord has commanded us to do." So Moses gave command, and word was proclaimed throughout the camp, "Let no man or woman do anything more for the contribution for the sanctuary." So the people were restrained from bringing, for the material they had was sufficient to do all the work and more. May the Lord bless tonight hearing of his word. Let me just say before I start the sermon, what a fascinating text, isn't it? Didn't you feel that tonight? This section in Exodus is just glorious. And did you feel the contrast of everything that we've been considering here? The book of Ecclesiastes makes very clear that there is a time to build up and there is a time to tear down. We looked this morning at the time to tear down in Jerusalem when the temple all went down. Every stone upon another was thrown down, every single one. There's always wisdom needed to recognize when the Lord is building or when he is tearing down. Isn't that true? There are seasons that come. There's a time that he's tearing down. And when the Lord is tearing down, it should be a signal in a church, in a place, that deep repentance needs to come upon the people for their sins. In judgment, God tore down the temple, the great temple in Jerusalem, when the people had apostatized from the truth. Remember, the doors of the temple, nobody even cared to come up for worship anymore. Sad. And they stopped fulfilling the calling for which God had set apart a people in the earth. And that challenged us this morning. It's no different that if we fail to abandon Christ's great commission in preaching the gospel and baptizing in a word and sacrament ministry, if we abandon that, there is always the real danger, if we forget our purpose, that just as the church in Ephesus had happened and had a threat from Jesus, the Lord can pull the lampstand out of a church. You know what that means, of course. That a church could go on and sing all of its great songs and the Lord won't be there. It's a sad reality. But then there are times when the Lord is really building. Throughout history, we've seen fresh new beginnings from the Lord. We see this all throughout the scriptures, don't we? When the Lord was doing something, when he was pouring out grace and restoration upon the people, when the Spirit was really working and stirring the hearts of the people. And the worst thing that could happen at moments like that is for the people, when the Lord was ready to build, to be complacent, to be lazy. When God was ready and commanding that to be done, he was moved in his decree to act and strengthen and give the people, in some times throughout history, great moments of restoration. I talked about one this morning with Hezekiah and Josiah. Great moments. Read those moments. It's just remarkable how much they tore down all the idolatry in Israel, and Israel was built back up strong. At times, he had to give them a swift kick. to get them going. That's Haggai. That's the book of Haggai. God had promised restoration when after the 70 years of captivity and judgment, he had promised it, and he would again pour out his spirit, and the people should have been expecting this. And then remember what happened as you open up the book of Haggai, God was bringing, he had brought them back into the land, and this is what we read. Verse 2, thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple to lie in ruins? Is it? In other words, you all know how to panel your houses pretty good. And the Lord's house looks like a dump. Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, this people says the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai, the prophet, saying, is it time for you to dwell in your paneled houses and the temple to lie in ruins? He's saying something is terribly backwards in your thinking. You have plenty of time and resource to build your own things. We're not the Lord's house. What we have tonight is a similar kind of scenario, only God had planned to build a tabernacle, and what is shown to you tonight is something that anticipates, I believe, New Covenant ministry. It's shown to you willing hearts in this project. Did you see how many times that was said to you in the text as we read it? Willing hearts, generous hearts, giving hearts. In fact, it's so wonderful, he had to tell him, stop the giving. It's too much. It's a remarkable moment in Israel's history. I'm not going to be a pastor up here applying that today in the wrong way. Don't worry. I've seen the TV preachers who do that. But I want you to think about the principle that's in front of you tonight, that God had planned to build this tabernacle, and what had happened in Israel was a heart of the people single-minded, unified, and joyful in the project. Full of joy. It's really refreshing after this morning, isn't it? Where the Lord had to tear down and the ugliness of that passage. What this foreshadows tonight is something that we get to enjoy today in Christ's building project. It's Jesus' building project. And it's only grace that will drive us to have willing hearts that want to be a part of this, and to want to be here with joy, to want to be here with willing hearts, to want to give with willing hearts. You essentially have three things going on here. You have a heavy emphasis on giving, the kind of giving that is accompanied with a sincere heart. That's the first thing I want to look at here tonight. And I want to begin with the question of how did Israel get here? It's so radically different from what we've just been discovering and learning in the book of Exodus. Well, when you look at verse 4, we see that Moses talked to all the congregation of Israel in chapter 35, and this is the thing he said to the people of Israel, the Lord has commanded, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a generous heart, let him bring the Lord's contribution. You have a long list there of treasures that God had plundered Egypt with for them. Remember, when they came out of Egypt, they had all this gold and all this plunder that the Lord had filled their lives with on the way to the promised land. They were a rich people on the way. No nation like this people. It was this that they had taken the gold and made the golden calf, remember. But this is really important. This was an entirely different moment in Israel's history, because what just happened is God said, I'm ready to build now. I'm ready to go. Can you imagine hearing this? In other words, I'm ready to come down and to dwell with you. That's chapter 40 of Exodus. It ends with the glory spirit coming down and the glory filling the tabernacle there in chapter 40. The whole thing, however, had been put on hold. Why? Well, one reason. They had been holding up a giant golden calf, calling it Yahweh, having great worship. And God had sent down his servant with the law, and there they were worshiping another God, one they had crafted, one they said, this is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Could God come down and dwell with them with that sin in the camp? The whole thing had been on hold. Israel had fallen into awful idolatry, and the question had surfaced. Remember, the Lord had planned to come and dwell among you, but how can he among idolaters? We've been wrestling with this whole Sinai covenant and looking at all the details of this, and is God going to abandon us was the question, because remember, he had promised to come down and be with them, but then once this golden calf event happened, he threatened to pull the project. In other words, he started tearing it down. What do I mean? 3,000 of their leaders were wiped out, I believe. And he says, I'll start over. An entirely new nation. And Moses says, you can't do that. These are your people. Remember Abraham. Remember the covenant of grace. They were not ready. They were not ready for the building project to start, because serious sin needed to be confessed. And that was the purpose of the law. What you see, that's what the tabernacle was about. God was building a tabernacle. He didn't need it. The heavens and all places, the Lord fills heaven and earth. The tabernacle was teaching them about salvation. It was a visual of Christ in the wilderness. It was a structure that God was raising up to show them the way that through the blood of a perfect lamb without spot, they could know God indeed was with them. That God was going with them. Now, what we have in this particular section is a people prepared, and I believe, whose hearts have been deeply and profoundly affected by the gospel. It's foreshadowing something for us. God spared them. God didn't destroy them. He gave them grace. Remember that was said? Moses kept appealing to it. You said you give grace. And the Lord gave a great gospel sermon to Moses and to Israel. The Lord God, a God merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. He proclaimed that. And the announcement was that this law, the righteous requirements of the law, would be met by the Lord. And we know what that all foreshadowed and what that all anticipated as Moses was hid in the cleft of the rock. Well, what begins to happen in the people's hearts? This is what I want you to see tonight. It's one of the more important sections of Exodus because we finally see a people whose hearts have been ready now and been made ready by the Lord. They're responding to grace, finally. Whole time he had been demonstrating his deliverance. Look what he did for them. Pulled them out of Egypt, showed all his power, nothing but love, nothing but deliverance. They've been a bitter, murmuring, complaining, reckless, idolatrous people. Never saying thank you once. Bitterness. That's been the people. Bitter. Read Paul in 1 Corinthians 10. Bitter people, complaining people, always moaning, never happy, never satisfied. Not here. Not in this passage. Finally, and I believe you have a great Old Testament passage telling you how to respond to grace. Their bitter, angry, complaining hearts were replaced with a simplicity of heart in thankfulness to be in the Lord's house and in the Lord's work. You get that? Their bitter, complaining hearts were replaced with a simplicity of heart to love and to be in the Lord's work and in his house. Because look what you read here. God begins by saying, whoever has a willing heart, let him bring an offering. It's a test a little bit, isn't it? Who has a willing heart? You know, you could paraphrase that. Whoever here has been moved by grace, whoever here understands the love of God, whoever here has been deeply touched and understands the great sacrifice that's been made for you to be, whoever here gets justification by faith alone, whoever here understands the righteousness you need, let them show it in a free will gift. God had just told him to rest. I don't want you out working. I want you to Sabbath. I want you to enjoy in the weekly pattern of rest so that you get to focus yourselves on me and you get to enjoy worship and you get to rest from all of your evil deeds. And after calling them to rest, now he's calling them to be a part of something, to be a part of something beautiful. And what moves me is that God could have dropped a ready-made tabernacle out of the sky, couldn't he? It would have been pretty impressive. Here it comes. Look at it. Didn't do that. It doesn't work that way. He's working through the willing hearts of his people. And this comes after receiving grace. I want you to notice verse 20. Then all the congregation of the people of Israel departed from the presence of Moses. And they came, everyone whose heart stirred him. Notice it's heart. Heart, 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 heart. And everyone whose spirit moved him and brought the Lord's contribution to be used for the tent of meeting and for all its service and for the holy garments. So they came, both men and women, all who were of a willing heart, brought brooches and earrings. This is all the stuff they used to make the calf with. Now look. All the gold. Willing hearts, stirred hearts, giving hearts. There was never the question of, is it 10%? This principle comes out of exactly what Paul picked up on. I think Paul's reading the Old Testament when he says many things. God loves a what? Cheerful giver. He who sows sparingly, I say, will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes where? In his heart.
Ah, the joys of giving when you properly understand who you're giving to. And why? More on that next time we get together.
This is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Pastor Chris will be back here in just a moment to close out our program with a look ahead to tomorrow's broadcast. But first, let me remind you that you can get copies of today's program, and you can learn more about us, and you can do it all online. Our website is a great place to start. agradio.org. It's there that you can learn more about us, find out who Pastor Chris is and what he does when he's not on the broadcast. You can also contact us with questions, comments, prayer requests, or if you would like to get a copy of today's program, they're available online, and you can reach us again at agradio.org. If you'd like to give us a call, the number is 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. 8805. We're also available on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Make sure you stop by agradio.org to find the link for all of these formats. Abounding Grace Radio, by the way, exists on this radio station because you believe in it and you find value in it and you direct some of your financial resources our way along with your prayers. We would ask you to continue to do that. No gift is too small. No gift is too big. Contact us today. Let us know how you're partnering with us financially and prayerfully. As promised, once again now, to close out the broadcast with a look ahead tomorrow, here's Pastor Chris.
Here's your motivation for giving yourself to Christ's service. It's because God himself gave you his son and gave you his best and forgave you all your sins and your idolatry and your lawless deeds that you continue to do. And this is what happens when the gospel regenerates hearts. You know, if you ever go back maybe tonight and read Psalm 110, when it said this, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord said, send the rod of your strength out of Zion, rule in the midst of your enemies." Then it says this in verse 3, listen, "Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power." Willing. willing servants, it means. Not forced, not coerced. Joyful, willing servants to be a part of this. That's evidence of salvation.
That's tomorrow, here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Join us then.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.